Thanks for these good people. Hallelujah. God bless you. Turn to somebody, tell them, forget about me for a while. And then you may be seated. It is a privilege to be here. This is a 17-year dream. I've always wanted to come to Heaven View. Since the Linders got here, I've always wanted to come here, and so it's a privilege to be here. With your permission, I'm going to kind of go deep today, if that's all right. So turn to somebody and say, buckle up. Amen. I'm going to teach on the difference between disappointment and discouragement. The difference between disappointment and discouragement. Thanks. We'll push the down button. We'll be all right, I think, on this one. There's just been a lot of talk about people that are dealing with life in our society and very difficult things. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to read from a recent blog from a writer, a lengthy piece. Everybody okay with that? Thank you. All right. I was going to kind of do it anyway, but appreciate your permission, though. The writer wrote the blog the day that the famous chef, Anthony Bourdain, committed suicide. He said, Anthony Bourdain killed himself today. Fashion designer Kate Spade committed suicide earlier in the week. That's two prominent suicides in the span of just a few days, and they are far from alone, sadly. Suicide is a veritable epidemic across the nation. Suicide rates are on the rise in almost every state. Some areas they've risen by 30% or more. That's not normal. Something is happening, but what and why? I will say this disclaimer, this is not my writing. I'm just reading it, okay? So it doesn't reflect all of my views, but I think he has some good things to say, so I'm not minimizing anything in this process, all right? Fair enough? You give me some grace here. People will say that suicide is on the rise because we're not doing enough to fight the, quote, mental health crisis. But this can't be the cause. We have never been more aware of or more proactive against mental health issues. Yet the suicide rate only continues to climb. The rate was a fraction of what it is today back when nobody had ever heard of, quote, mental health. The purely psychological explanations just don't hold up. Clearly, there's a deeper problem. I think that problem is emptiness. There is an emptiness at the core of our culture, and from this root, the suicide epidemic grows. We have fled from God, from meaning, from purpose, and embraced a soft kind of nihilism, a nihilism that will not call itself nihilism. It uses other words and slogans to describe itself. You only live once, it says, live your truth. People are told that there is only one life, one reality, and it has no meaning aside from what you assign to it. But what happens when you no longer see meaning? Those who seek happiness by following the well-worn paths will inevitably fall into this pit. If you think what everyone else is doing, or if you do what everyone else is doing and live how they live and walk in their footsteps, you'll end up in the same darkness. You will begin to feel that there is no hope and no point and no beauty or joy to be found in life. And this is the state in which so many of us are living, he writes. And a great many people in America are wallowing in the nihilistic despair and living hollow lives devoid of substance. They struggle and flail and reach out for help, but so often the hand that grabs hold of them will only drag them deeper into the pit. We have seen this process play out this week. It's the same thing that happens every time a famous person commits suicide. We set out immediately to almost defend the act and to ensure that no one says anything negative about it. We insist that suicide is nothing but the result of mental illness. A depressed person dies of suicide in the same way that a person may die of cancer. We deliver tearful, admiring eulogies to the deceased celebrity and express our hope that they have, quote, found peace. And what good does any of this do? How are we helping a suicidal person by explicitly suggesting that suicide is a means to peace? How are we helping him by telling him he has no choice, that his depression may just up and kill him one day, totally against his will? What service do we provide by telling him that he has no power, no alternative, no free will, and then we are shocked when the next person does it, and the next, and each time we react the same way, saying the same things, and we think that we are helping as long as we pass out the suicide prevention hotline. It is good to give out the suicide prevention hotline. It's 1-800-273-8255. It's good to encourage people to get help, to talk to someone, to reach out. We get that part right, but we go dangerously off course with everything else. And the crisis only worsens because we refuse to trace it all the way down to its roots. We stop at the brain, at chemical reactions, at psychological disorders, but we never pause to ask why all of our brains have apparently gone haywire in modern times. It is, if this is all just a matter of mental disorders, why are these mental disorders so common now? I think it's because the disorder is not purely psychological. It goes beyond our brains and into our souls, into the emptiness. What everyone really craves deep in their bones is truth and meaning. Not meaning they arbitrarily assign, but meaning that is objective and inherent and beyond our ability to remove or change. If someone's feeling this way, yes, it's good to give them the numbers to call and to tell them they're not alone and people care for them and to encourage them to talk to someone. I echo all those exhortations, but it's not enough in itself. People need more than that. They need more than therapy and phone numbers. They even need more than the knowledge that people love them. They need meaning. They need hope. Well, praise God, because there is a reason, there is a point, there is a meaning. God is our foundation, our truth, our purpose, and the substance of our lives. We are not mere accidents. We are not clumps of dust that grow randomly from the earth and somehow developed consciousness and a moral code and the capacity to love. That doesn't make sense. We all know it doesn't make sense, and we literally kill ourselves trying to make sense of it. There is a transcendent spiritual character to humanity, and we all innately recognize that. We find despair when we reject it, and we try to separate ourselves from it and from ourselves. Hope is found the other way, in the opposite direction. Hope is found when we embrace who we are as children of God, and we keep our eyes and hearts focused on eternity, on home. God wants us there with him, but not yet. There's still more to be done, more life to be lived, and we can live it in joy, knowing that there is meaning and a point to all of this. Interesting. That's the end of the writer's piece. I wanted to share it in this time because I think it's a poignant piece, commentary on our culture today. Interesting. The same week I read the verse in Proverbs 24:11 that says, "Deliver those who are drawn to death and hold back those that are stumbling to the slaughter." There's got to be an answer in Jesus Christ that helps people dig out of despair. And I want to, while I've presented the negative, I'm going to present the positive today and show you how God can help you if you ever hit a bumpy spot, because we're all going to hit some rough water at some point, right? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Can you say amen to that? Abraham Lincoln, the biographer, wrote, quoted Lincoln, "If I were to try to read, much less answer all the attacks made on me, this shop might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so till the end." He also said, "Adhere to your purpose and you will soon feel as well as you ever did. On the contrary, if you falter and give up, you'll lose the power of keeping any resolution and you'll regret it through your life." Without question, disappointments are going to come in life. Would you raise your hand if you'll be honest with me and if you've ever been disappointed? Is there anybody that's ever been it's unanimous. It's amazing. We face disappointments. How we respond in those situations will determine how our life goes, our future, and our eternity, right? Jesus did not say everything's going to be a bed of roses. If you're new to the church, I have news for you. Jesus was not a bait and switch salesman. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he also added the addendum, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You're going to face things in the world. The good news is God's bigger than whatever you face. And so you have to come to this understanding. Many times, if not every time, disappointment points back to unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. And so you thought things were going to turn out one way, and they didn't. You thought you were going to have children, and you couldn't. You thought that the marriage was going to go a certain way, and someone became ill in the process, and it changed the dynamic, and things happen. And calluses develop to avoid disappointment. We build up these layers to protect ourselves. And the bad thing is it also keeps us from feeling much. Frustration leads to anger and then a hard heart. We see that. Here's red flags, okay? Here's red flags. I just want to help the people of God today. If you are facing situations in your life that are disappointing or whatever, here's red flags. First thing the devil's going to want you to do is stop worshiping. So you come to church and you don't feel like you have a reason to worship. You come and you're playing the drums and you don't feel like playing the drums, you know. And you feel like you're faking it a little bit. Here's the good news. That's okay. You're really not faking it because it's a command in the Bible to praise the Lord. So you lift up your hands, and whether you feel like it or not, it's the right thing to do. Here's the rest of the good news. You do that for just a few minutes and you're going to feel it because it's going to come through. You're going to feel better because that's the way it works. That's what happens. The devil tries to talk you into toning down your worship. You may be sitting further back. You may start, missing personal devotion. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, it's so busy today, and I'm not going to read the word like I normally do or pray like I normally do. Those are red flags. Turn to somebody and say, those are red flags. You come to church and you're bored and you feel like they're talking to somebody else. They're just not talking to you. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And then those feelings of isolation, those are all red flags. If you experience those things, you need really to get closer to God at that moment because God has the help you need. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you a break here. It's not wrong to feel disappointed. So I just want to let you lighten up there. It's not wrong. It's natural. Something happens, you lose your job. You know, it's natural to feel disappointed. If you didn't, I'd wonder about you. Right? I'm not one of these people that just like, I'm not going to just lie about it and say, no, I think it's fantastic that I just lost a $100 bill in the supermarket. I think that's wonderful. This is part of my strategy. I'm just being honest. The Bible says in everything give thanks, you know, and it's always the will of God to praise the Lord. Sometimes I say, thank you, God, that every day is not like this one. Because the truth of the matter is most of them are pretty awesome. And I hit that one and I'm like, man, this stinks. But thank you, God, that every day does not stink. I mean, thank you that I don't feel like this very often at all. You know? There are times when disappointment's the exact correct reaction. But disappointment is temporary. And discouragement lasts longer. Disappointment is understandable. But discouragement is optional. You don't have to do that. Disappointment affects the mind and the heart. Discouragement affects the spirit. And that's a difficult thing. Proverbs 18 and 14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" When your spirit is broken, that's when you're in trouble, you know? So you have to guard your spirit. You have to make sure. Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Proverbs 16:32 has a lot of great things about our emotions in Proverbs too. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." He who rules his spirit, right? The Bible also says he who has no control over his spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. I'm going to do a side note here and just say, to me that means that when you have no control over your own spirit, all the spirits have access. So people can come in and talk in tongues and leave church and go hang out with their old friends and do the wrong thing right after a great church service. Why? Because there is no defense. They don't have any control over their spirit, so everybody can come and go as they please, every spirit. You need to build those walls and keep the Spirit of God protected in your life and keep the other spirits out, the other things that would try to encroach, right? Psalm 31, 1 through 5, "The Lord is a fortress." New King James puts these little headings there. "The Lord is a fortress in adversity." And this is a psalm of David. I love, of course, the book of Psalms written by many people, but this is a psalm attributed to David. "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Isn't it amazing? When we went through this situation, and I'm sorry about all the personal references to the health issues in our family, our son, and I refer to it because it's where we've lived recently. But when we were going through this difficult time, every day, Pastor, I would look in the Word for encouragement, and I would find it, and I would make a note. I made a note in my Evernote on my phone every time I came across a verse of encouragement, a psalm that spoke to me, and I kept it, and I lived on it, and I sent it to the family, and I'd encourage others with it, because the Word is full of that. And when you're free-falling, the Word is such a great foundation to land on. He's the one that said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He's the one that said, "I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think." The Word is true. Is anybody glad for the Word of God today? So powerful. It's so powerful. So here's the key points. There is a difference between disappointment and discouragement. So give yourself permission to be disappointed, but don't ever give in to discouragement. Amen? Don't ever give in to that. So here's how to keep discouragement from becoming disappointment. Are you ready? These are ways to keep disappointment from becoming discouragement. I hope I said that in the right order. Number one, keep up with your daily devotion. Don't miss your daily walk with God. It doesn't matter what the temperature is, doesn't matter what the cloud cover is. Keep your daily devotion. What I love about reading the Word is because I get to have the mind of God. pumped into my mind, and he's always in a good mood, and he's always, he lives outside of time and my hectic schedule, and he's always out, he's transcendent, he's above the fray. And no matter what I'm going through, it's not affecting him in a negative way. And I love the word coming in. So keep up with your daily devotion. Number two, make a note of positive promises in God's word. As I just said, make a note of that. So find a notepad, find a way, app on your phone. I use Evernote. And just make a note of them all the time. Look for them. Look for them. Skip over the parts about, you know, break my enemy's teeth and all of that. Just the imprecatory psalms, you can just kind of skim over that. I'm not saying that literally, but sometimes you feel that way, you know, but yeah. You got to be careful that you're not in the middle of Job's friends while you're making those notes, because Job's friends don't have a lot of great advice. Context, people, right? Make a note of positive, emphasis on positive promises in God's word. How many of you have ever done that? Do you make some notes and you can use it later, right? Number three, don't allow yourself to say negative words. Oh man, this is so important. This is a truth. This is not something I'm making up, okay? Words have creative power. God spoke the world into existence. And faith works either way. It's true. Faith works either way. Now, I understand. We went to Disney World years ago, and I had these cool white jeans on, and man, I had my, it was like Jimmy Z or something. I was so casual. I was on vacation. I loved it. We left the hotel. I got on the tram, and my coffee went all over my white jeans on the way to Disney World. There is no changing this. I look like an advertisement for Tide. And I'm the before picture walking through Disney World all day. Well, you know how it goes. You know, all of a sudden you're feeling, oh, this is going to be a crummy day. This is really, oh, man, I spent, what? Am I missing a ticket? Are you kidding? What? Look at the line. And it, if you're not careful, you can let it snowball, okay? And you can start speaking negative things, and it will come to pass. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. We're going to have a horrible day. This is going to, they're probably going to have a bunch of rides shut down or something, and, you know, Space Mountain's probably, oh, I don't need, let's go home. Ever been around people like that? I know you're not that way, but have you ever been around people like that? It's like, all right, the negative just keeps coming, and you're like, hang on. What is it? I don't remember who to attribute the quote to, but they said, I have had many troubles in life, most of which never happen. Isn't that the truth? You feel a little lump on your shoulder, and you're like, oh, my God. And you think 8,000 different things that are wrong with you. And you don't have a clue. You make the doctor's appointment. I got to get a scan. Oh, that sounds scary in itself. I got to get a scan. I get the scan. Well, it's not conclusive. We're going to have to do something. Oh, God. Do I look kind of puny? Is my color okay? Is this? I've had some stomach issues, you know. Am I losing weight? No, I'm not losing weight. You find out it's a cyst, you know, later. And all I worry was wasted. All that energy, all that negative energy. Listen, we made a family mission statement. I recommend it. We made it when our children were very small. Our family mission statement, you can even borrow it. You can have it. We're going to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we will live a life of faith and not of fear. You don't know when your kid's five that they're going to face some issues later on. But it helps to have a foundation where we agree we're not going to walk in fear. This is fear has torment. I'm not going to let that rule my life. I'm going to believe the best in every situation. Oh man, there's people in church that have superhero powers. They do. It's not just in the comic books. They have superhero. There's probably someone here that does. Because you can stand this far away from someone on the back pew and know what they're saying about you. I saw the way she looked at me. She's talking about that time we went to that camp meeting. I'm telling you right now. That woman? I just don't know. Yeah, you can set things in motion just by negative talk. Turn to somebody and say, don't allow negative words out of your mouth. Don't do it. Number four, worship. Everybody say worship. When you come to church, don't do some kind of impression of a statue. Worship. Get into it. Engage. You need it. Even if you don't feel like you have a reason, God's good all the time. All the time he's good. You ought to worship every chance you get. Every chance you get. Don't let the devil talk you out of that. That is him talking you out of the strength you need. It's the truth. I'm going to try to, before I'm done, I'm going to give you a way to a pattern to follow. Number five, enlist close friends to pray. If you're going through a tough time, don't hesitate to reach out to somebody. I need you to pray for me. I've asked people. I've asked Pastor Linder at times, different friends of mine. I'll just text them and say, you know, I need extra prayer today. That's all right. That's okay. People are willing to help. Amen. Number six, take care of yourself. This is a part we ignore sometimes. Get some rest, for goodness sake. I had somebody come into my office that was hysterical. I knew the lady, and I knew she was acting out of character. Being the pastor that I am, I realized my limitations. There's some things I can't fix. I can't fix anything, but I can lead people the right direction. In this case, it wasn't spiritual at all. She was talking out of her head. I said, Fran, how long has it been since you got good sleep? She looked at me, her eyes got real big. I said, how much are you sleeping a night? 3 hours. You need to see your doctor. And you need to get some rest, because that's what's talking right now. It ain't the Fran I know. You just need to get some rest. Is there a Bible for that? Of course. Prophet is exhausted. He's depressed. He's worn out. And the angel just cooks him a meal and tells him to take a nap. Am I right? And sometimes that's all that's going to fix it. And you can make it the devil fighting you and everything else, but you just need to chill out for a minute. Lay your head on the pillow, get some rest. It's not complicated. Eat something. Don't just take 5-hour energy drinks. Get some rest, have a good meal, drink some water. Number seven, do not Google or take in negative information. Got a bump on my shoulder, I'm gonna Google it. Oh man. Here is 8 million reasons why I'm not gonna make it. Here's 8 million negative inputs. Oh my goodness. It could be one of 1,000 terminal illnesses right here. Oh, it's just a pimple. I'm sorry. I wasted all that negative energy and the bottom dropped out of my life because I Googled. Oh my goodness, man. We had enough real information in our family to deal with. I didn't need to get on Google, but you know what? I'm gonna keep trusting God no matter what. I'm gonna keep, whose report will you believe, right? I'm gonna keep my faith in God. So don't ask for trouble. Number eight, take your thoughts into captivity. That's scriptural. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? The loins is the reproductive area. It means gird up and be careful the thoughts you give birth to. Don't let those thoughts grow and nurture them in your mind. If they're negative, take your thoughts into captivity. Number nine, make an overcomer playlist for your car. I have it on my phone. It's labeled overcomer. I had a playlist for every day we went to chemo. Every day I drove my son to chemo. It was called Victory Day playlist. And every song was lifting you up. Every song was just about how God was gonna take care of you and God was gonna see you through. And it, every song, come on, fill yourself with good things, man. Watch the intake you have. Come on, seriously. As we said yesterday, average person spends 4 hours on their phone a day, 11 years of your life. Why don't you spend some of that time putting good things in your head to encourage yourself? That commute back and forth to work, turn off the news, man. It's all bad. We have all this fear now because of stuff we can do nothing about. I can't help the lava's flowing in Hawaii. I can't help it. I can't go stop it. I mean, I understand, you know, in some ways, occasionally you can help, whatever. But, and we can pray for them. Please don't misunderstand me. But we carry so much. It is not God's will for us to be burdened down with care. So make an overcomer playlist. Would you do it? Make a playlist, get a positive CD in there. My goodness, looky here. This is a good one right here. Just turn to fight for you. Number 10, we'll sing it today and it'll encourage you. Yeah, number 10, I'm smart enough to know you may need a doctor, but you need to determine whether your problem is spiritual, emotional, chemical, or psychological. Some people, they just chemicals are off balance and they gotta work on that. I'm smart enough to figure out that's, you can't pray a lack of potassium out of your, well, I guess you could, yeah. But I got caught in that. I do believe in healing, but sometimes, you know, you can't pray a bad habit out. You got to change. Yeah. Number 11, protect your faith. Protect your faith. Turn to somebody and say, protect your faith. You got to guard that. Guard your faith. Don't let your faith get hurt. Number 12, realize this is not the time to row the boat, but to rest in the arms of your Father and use his strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. It's his strength I'm going on. There are times when you are disappointed and you feel that lack of energy to make it through. It's okay to say, God, right now, I'm not going to be the intercessor for everyone. I need you to help me and rest in his love and rest in his comfort and compassion. He'll give you peace that bypasses your mental capacities and goes straight to the area that you need. Peace that passes understanding, right? So allow him to carry you for that point. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5 says, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. There you go. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Everybody say you ought to tithe. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So there are ways that God wants us to experience that. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I love how Paul writes here. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I'm not going to be discouraged. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. We're going to win regardless, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, I'm not going to focus on the present circumstance, but we're looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. If you ever feel weakness in your spirit, and I'm closing with this, I have 1 minute. This is what to do. When you need strength, praise the Lord. These are the three scriptures you need to remember. Number one, the joy. How do I get strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, how do I get joy? In his presence, there's fullness of joy. So I got to get in his presence. How do I get in his presence? He inhabits praise. He inhabits praise. So whether I feel like it or don't feel like it, brother, I'm going to come into church and I'm going to throw my hands in the air. I may have dragged my carcass to church that day, but I'm going to throw my hands in the air. Say, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. You're awesome. You never done me nothing but good. And you know what? About 5 minutes into that, I'm going to start feeling the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And when I feel that joy start coming, all of a sudden, my job isn't quite as important. All of a sudden, my sickness takes a back seat. Why? Because the strength of God is in the joy that I find in his presence. Let's stand all over this building, and would you worship and praise the Lord? Thank God. Thank God. Come on, try it out right now. Try it out. See if you don't feel stronger when you praise God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Let's take a moment and lift him up. Thank you, God. I praise you, God. That's right. Go ahead, sister. Hallelujah. My circumstance is subject to Almighty God. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a peace speaker. Hallelujah. I feel a Holy Ghost right here. Come on, right now. I don't care what you're facing. Lift up both hands, lift your voice, and praise God from the depths of your heart. Oh, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I feel your strength. I feel your joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Thank the Lord.